TV.
Philippians 4:6, let nothing be worrying you. Paul, right. That's easier said than done, but it can be done. But I'm not sure how it can be done without the expectation that we have, that these trials that are assailing us and afflicting us are short-lived, and the situation could change at any moment. Now, Scott Hicko addressed this topic in a recent video, really good video. I want to comment on it, not to criticize it, because it was just so meaningful and I think so appropriate to how many of us are feeling about this tension concerning things that we have to do in this life, things that happen to us in this life, the constant threat of doom and gloom of this life, and our expectation that any moment Christ could rescue us. There's some tension there. There shouldn't be, but there is. And Scott brought up a good point about it. And I think I can help. I think I can help anyone who is feeling a little bit of turmoil, or not turmoil, let's say disappointment, that a day goes by and we're still here. I'm going to address that possibly Monday, because I want to finish in Matthew by tomorrow. Let's see. But I don't know how anyone can not worry without the expectation that your situation could end any day, any minute, any moment. Because Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17, after he gets done talking about we who are remaining to the coming of the Lord, he says, comfort one another with these words. He doesn't say argue with one another about these words. He doesn't say doubt these words. He doesn't say put these words on the shelf and save them for a rainy day. No. They are to be a present comfort. And to me, the comfort is that I don't have to worry about a situation. Why? Here's this. Why would I worry about it if it could change any moment? All right. More on that early next week. I love that topic. It's so appropriate. And I am going to be dealing with two, not one, but two scriptural issues near to this point. One in Luke chapter 21 that I talked about yesterday, the Lord saying, don't take thought for what to say. Don't worry about what you're going to say. Don't premeditate. Don't plan when you come before the authorities. I just love that. There are so many real life applications. It's a trans-administrational truth. And then also reading in Luke, which is, again, Luke 21, a parallel passage to Matthew 24, also reading the Lord telling the saints that they must endure. He who endures to the end will be saved. Good luck, sons of Jacob. We don't have to worry about that at all. That is not a directive directed at us. Ho! You can't get much better than that. I'm Martin Zender. You're at MZTV. I'm happy you're here. And if you're not happy yet, you're going to be by the end of this show. So let's go to Luke 21, which again is the famous end time prediction of our Lord. I tend to think that he's right about things. I tend to think that he's spot on, because he says later that heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. In other words, you can take this to the bank, people. I read this yesterday in verse 14 of Luke 21, and I just can't get my mind off of it. Ponder then in your hearts not to be premeditating a defense. I know this is to Israel. This is to the circumcision. This is really specifically to the disciples. But I see a life lesson here, and I'm going to teach it. Ponder not to be premeditating a defense. In other words, let your minds be free. What was that song, that disco song? Let your minds and your bodies be free. Dance with me. Bop, bop. dun, 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 dun. Let your minds and your bodies be free. It's a scriptural teaching, even in the circumcision. Don't be premeditating a defense. It kind of goes along with Paul in a way. I mean, in a big way, not to worry. Don't worry about anything. For I will be giving you a mouth and wisdom, which all those opposing you shall not be able to withstand or contradict. Now, I believe that this, for the disciples, would be miraculous. Jesus is not operating that way now. So I'm not telling you that you're to empty your mind completely and then count on a miracle when you have to testify in court, for instance, or when you have to give a presentation at work, or if you're any kind of public speaker. I'm not telling you to expect a Pentecostal-style miracle. But what I am saying is that just as in Paul's gospel, he tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 to hold loosely to our things, to our possessions, even to our loved ones, I am telling you today to also hold loosely to your thoughts. That's a new one kind of, huh? That's a new one. You haven't heard that yet. I haven't either. I'm hearing it for the first time as I'm saying it. Hold loosely to your thoughts. Don't overthink. I've got a verse for you on that. But, you know, this is how I do this show. You know that. I every once in a while, I'll show you my notes. I have 5 or 6 lines written, and I purposely don't overthink it because I want the Spirit of God to be able to play it by ear with me. Take me to a place maybe where I haven't even planned on going. That's happened so many times. And the show, practically every show really, or at a conference. I have just thrown out all my notes at a conference. I've had like 3, 4, 5 pages of notes. And because of what somebody says, like 5 minutes before I take the podium, I will abandon the notes and say, Lord, give me the wisdom to address this topic and then go. Now, maybe not everybody is supposed to be able to do that. Maybe it is a special gift of God, not a miraculous Pentecostal-style gift, but to be able to talk extemporaneously, to flow in the Spirit, you might say. It was the same thing with the Dan Sheridan Martin Zender show. When he and I were on the radio in Indianapolis in 2010, WCCD Radio 1100, on your AM dial, we would go there for the weekend to Indianapolis, and the show was pre-recorded. Each show was 13 minutes long, and we were broadcasting to 5 cities. And we would make like 5 or 10 shows at a time. So we would record a show, and then in between shows, we'd be getting a drink or taking a little break, and we would start to talk about the next show. And then instantly we would catch ourselves, say, no, stop. Shh, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I don't want to hear your opinion until we're on the air. Even though it was recorded, we considered ourselves on the air. We wanted it to be spontaneous. I wanted to hear what he had to say fresh. I wanted my reaction to be spontaneous and not premeditated. Not premeditated. That's the idea here. Not premeditated. Many of you have heard me share this before, but many of you have never heard this. I don't know if all of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was I know it's a strange name. I'm sorry, that's her name, Corrie Ten Boom. She was a Dutch concentration camp survivor in World War II. Her family was taken prisoner by the Nazis. She survived and went on to become a public speaker, encouragement to many people, wrote a book called The Hiding Place. I do recommend that book, but, you know, she's a standard issue Christian, but not a standard issue human being. In the book, she shared the account of her father taking her on the train to Amsterdam. Corrie was a young girl, and she was worrying about something. She was fretting. And her papa told her, Corrie, set her down. He set her down on the chair. She's all nervous. Maybe she's 10, 11 years old. Fretting like a woodpecker or a hummingbird. He said, Corrie, when you and I get on the train to Amsterdam, when do I give you your ticket? And she said, well, you're giving me the ticket right before we get on the train. Her papa said, exactly. God will not give you the ticket for your peace. He will not give you the ticket for how to deal with the situation until you are ready to board that situation. God will not prepare you ahead of time for your phantasmagorical nightmares. That may have been a redundancy. I'm not sure. Yes, I think it probably was. God will not comfort you concerning your imagination. In other words, this sounds horrible, but I think it's true. There's no divine protection from your imagination. The divine protection comes at the moment you need it. Don't we see this? Aren't we seeing this in Luke 21:14? I will be giving you a mouth and wisdom which your opposers will not be able to withstand or contradict. And they are not to premeditate the defense. And this is the life lesson. And it's a transadministrational truth that applies to both gospels. It's just true. I found it to be true that what is your imagination? It's a vapor. Is your imagination about an awful thing? Is it happening? No. But you're stressed about it. You're sweating. Your heart is palpitating. You're shaking. And nothing is happening except you're thinking about something terrible. I really had this with my cancer issue. And I still have to deal with it. Like I have to think. I think sometimes, what if the cancer is back? What if it comes back? What if it's here? Why does that feel funny? Is it supposed to feel that way? And I have to consciously drive that thought out because I am over meditating on it. I am really premeditating, not a defense, but I'm premeditating a disaster. And I'm looking around for God to take it away. But the question might be, take what away? Nothing's happening. Your cancer's not back. But what if it is? Well, if it is, you know, I will be with you then. What do you want me to do now? You know, well, take my thoughts away. I'm not saying that God's not going to soothe your thinking. In fact, he is soothing it by what he told Paul to write in Philippians 4:6. Do not worry about anything. And when you need the strength, it will be there. When you're ready to get on the train, the ticket will be put in your hand. Then, and I really believe this concerning death, we all fear death. Most people don't even want to think about it. They're in denial their entire lives. They're in bondage to fear of death their entire lives. But I am convinced that when death is at the door, and I've seen it. Unfortunately, I worked at the hospital. I've seen people die. I saw my dad die. I heard an account of my wife's grandfather dying, and God gives dying people a ticket that no one's been able to come back and tell about. Maybe Lazarus did. I don't know. Did Lazarus write a book or a newsletter after he came back? That would be interesting. I would like to talk to some people who have been raised from the dead, but that I don't think anybody's been raised from the dead recently. Did you get the ticket? What happened right before you died? Did you just feel peace? Were you comforted? I think God gives a ticket when you need it. And so, yeah, Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Don't need the ticket now. Don't need the ticket. Don't need it yet. Don't need it yet. But I do need peace now. Can you give me that now? God says, yes, yes. His peace is there. By what? Setting our affections on things below? No. By setting your affections on things above. where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Colossians chapter 3, set your affections on things above, not on those below. Yeah, Colossians 3, 2. Got my handy dandy concordant literal New Testament here. Be disposed. Why did I use the King James? I don't know. It's in my head. It's probably NASB. Be disposed to that which is above, not to that on the earth. For you're died and your life is hid together with Christ in God. And here's the verse we read yesterday. Whenever Christ, our life, should be manifested, then you also shall be manifested together with him in glory. See, this is tied to our expectation. All of this. I'm talking to everybody listening. I'm talking to Scott Hicko. He watches this show. Everything is related to this expectation. And of course, Scott's not in denial of the expectation. Of course, he's vitally aware and thankful for the expectation. It's the timing of the thing. It's the tension between how come it's not here yet and I still have to do this and this and this in my life. But be disposed to that which is above, not that on the earth. My cancer is on the earth. I'm not going to be disposed to it. Screw it. Flip it. I flipped it to bird. I'm flipping my cancer, my ex-cancer, the bird, flipping it to bird. Be disposed to that which is above. That's Christ. Because he's coming for his saints. Soon. That makes me happy. I like the King James. Set your affection. Or is that the... I think there's a King James... Could be NASB as well. Set your affection. Be disposed. Concordance says more literal. Go there in your mind. And along that line, Romans 12:3 is a phenomenal verse. I don't know if I'm going to get to the endurance today. I might get to it. I'm going to try to. Yes, I am going to get to it. I am going to do it. Romans 12:3. You've heard me talk about this before. It never gets old to me. I trust it doesn't for you. For I am saying through the grace which is given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening. This is an archaic Dutch word, I believe. Not to be overweening. W-E-E-N-I-N-G. Not W-E-A-N, like a baby coming off his mother's breast. But it means, I'm going to tell you in a second, not to be overweening beyond what your disposition must be. That word disposition ties into what I just read in Colossians 3 from the Concordant Version. Be disposed to that which is above, not that on the earth. But one, I can't be disposed. I don't know how the things of the earth are so loud and voluminous. I just can't drive it out. Okay, then don't worry about it. Whatever degree you can be disposed to what is above, don't be overweening beyond what your disposition must be. But Martin, you haven't explained or defined overweening. I'm going to do it now. Overweening, it's a Greek word, hyperphroneo, two-part Greek word. Actually, three-part, hyperphroneo, over, to be over-disposed. To be over-disposed. So let's insert that concordant definition into Romans 12:3. Do not be over-disposed beyond what your disposition must be. There is a disposition that you must have that you can't get out of. This is known as the sovereignty of God. God has determined that you have so much peace, so much ability to focus on things above. And whatever capacity you have, do it. Whatever capacity you don't have, don't fret over it. The dictionary defines weaning to suppose, to imagine, to think, to suppose, to imagine, or think. This also then can be translated to overthink, to be overworried, to be overwrought, to overthink, to just mull on something until you drive yourself crazy. And Paul's trying to keep us from being driven crazy. And that is literally true because the next phrase is, he says, Don't be overweening beyond what your disposition must be, but be of a sane disposition. So the opposite of being overdisposed is to be sane, which means that being overdisposed or overthinking is the road to insanity. The road to insanity is overthinking. That is true in all aspects of life. They say even that in sports, right, Scott? Basketball players, Michael Jordan, anybody, a high school kid, you get in the zone and you can't do anything wrong. You're just moving unconsciously. You're nailing the threes. You're making beautiful passes. And it's just because you're not thinking at that point. A golf swing. Golfers will tell you this. Pool players will tell you this. Anybody who has to excel in fine motor skills will tell you that after the hours and hours and hours and hours of practice and training, when you're at the event, you don't think. You just rely on your instinct. I can go back to Luke easily here and do not be predisposed, but just... And I can go to 1 Thessalonians 2 to not be holding too tightly onto a thought. But just relax, let it go, let the thought come, let Christ come, let the idea come. Give the Spirit room to move. I know that's a relative verse, don't mean to sound Pentecostal on you, but I did say it, I'll repeat it. Give the Spirit room to move. Don't crowd it out. I kind of want to sing Let It Be now. I just want to sing Let It Be. But you know me, though. I'm not an absolutist guy. I mean, I believe in the absolute truth. What I mean to say is I'm not a fatalist. But there's a difference between Let It Be and Que sera, sera, whatever will be, will be. There's a difference between Let It Be and whatever will be, will be. I mean, it's true that whatever will be, but that's a fatalistic attitude that presupposes we just sit on a rocking chair and watch the world go by. Well, we don't. We participate because we don't know what's going to happen next. This is a beautiful thing. Don't be overthinking beyond what your thinking, your disposition must be, but be of a sane disposition. As, verse 3, God parts to each the measure of faith. You see, not everybody has the same measure of faith. I know that's going to upset a couple people out there who think that everything's equal in the body of Christ. Everybody has everything that everybody else has. No, God parts to each the measure of faith. You have your measure, I have my measure. You're disposed to things above all the time, and you're walking in peace. I can't do it all the time, so I'm and mental turmoil once in a while. God help me. So to each the measure of faith. I've said before that I have a shit ton of faith, and I do. It's a gift of God. God parted that to me. And I need to realize more and more that faith is what drives, what steers my disposition. So how can I? And it is happening. I am being more and more disposed to things above. I'm trying not to be so disposed to things above that I'm no earthly good. I've heard that saying before. He's so heavenly minded that he's no earthly good. I don't want that to happen. I'm not that way. I'm not. I'm making a show here, aren't I? I mean, I'm not sitting on a mountaintop in a white robe, strumming a harp, looking up in heaven. Bring, bring. God, got to work, got to exercise, got to run, got to take care of my wife, got to, you have got to take care of business. This is what Scott was talking about. I want to make a show about that. It was a great show, Scott. I appreciate the poem that you wrote and that you shared with the body of Christ. So, I think I got time to go back to Luke for another epic point. Luke 21. You shall be given up. You shall be hated. A hair on your head should by no means be perishing. And then verse 19. This is our Lord. By your endurance shall you be acquiring your souls. Oh, By your endurance, you will be acquiring your souls. That is acquiring your souls in the next eon. Your endurance is necessary for aeonian life. And there is a parallel passage in Matthew. Matthew 24:13. It can't be much more obvious than this. Yet he who endures to the consummation, he shall be saved. Jeez, what's the corollary? He who doesn't endure to the consummation will not be saved. The consummation in this context is the consummation of the eon and the inauguration of the kingdom eon. The consummation of this evil eon, eon 3, the wicked eon, and the kingdom eon. Endure to the end. And if you don't, you're not going to be saved. Endurance is critical in the circumcision gospel. This is not a trans-administration of truth. I'm happy to tell you. All the wonderful things are generally trans-administration of truth. That is, they apply to both administrations, to Israel and to the body of Christ. But all the nasty stuff is never trans-administrational. You're going to love that. And I do. And for this, I will go to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober. This is what we want. I want all of you to be sober. I'm not talking about, you know, not getting drunk, but I'm not talking about not getting drunk either. Just, you know, be sober-minded if you can. Putting on the cuirass of faith and love and the helmet. What's the helmet in this context? The expectation of salvation. There it is again. I wasn't even counting on that. Look at that. This is what I mean by letting the giving the Spirit room to move. The expectation of salvation is so important. I'm sure it's critical to being disposed to that which is above. In fact, it is being disposed to that which is above, but it's critical to be able to not worry about anything. For God did not appoint us to indignation. It's tied in again. And somebody was asking about this indignation last week. Does that have to apply to the tribulation? Well, yeah, it does apply to the tribulation, but not only to the tribulation. How much indignation goes on in your mind? How many things are you indignant about concerning the world, your life, God even? God did not appoint us to that either. It's like that's just passing away. It's transient. But to the procuring of salvation. Hot damn, we're at the salvation. We're at the snatching away again. Snatching away just keeps showing up in passages that aren't supposed to be talking about the snatching away. It's all over this now. I'm seeing it everywhere. But to the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, that whether we may be watching or drowsing, we should be living at the same time together with him, watching or drowsing. Verse 11, wherefore console one another. That's what I'm doing to you. And edify one another according as you are doing also. Oh, thanks, Paul. Yes, you notice I'm doing that. Good. That's not the circumcision gospel. Oh, my goodness. Matthew 24:42, KJV. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Matthew 25:6. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. Mark 13:35. Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh. Luke 12:34-37. Ye yourselves be like unto men who wait for their Lord. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Watching, 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 all over the circumcision gospel. Let me repeat 1 Thessalonians 5:10 again. The Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, we're to be expecting salvation. That's the helmet, the helmet. And the helmet covers the head. What have we been talking about this whole show? The head, the thinking, the disposition. Put on that helmet. What is the helmet? The expectation of salvation. Salvation could come anytime. Salvation could come anytime. Nothing is going to protect your thoughts more than that. For God did not appoint us to indignation, either the tribulation or the indignation going on in our heads, but to the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for our sakes, that whether we may be watching or drowsing. We don't have to be watching. We can be drowsing. Not ideal, but you could be doing it. It's not going to affect the snatching away. We should be living at the same time together with him. Wherefore? And I'll end the show this way because I'm doing it. I feel good about it. Console one another and edify one another according as you are doing also. You're free.